Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This, of course, is Beyoncé's mega hit, Irreplaceable, from her second album, B-Day. And joining me now in the studio is someone who's intimately familiar with this song, Tia Fuller. She's a jazz saxophonist and a former member of Beyoncé's all-female touring band. She's also a professor at Berklee College of Music, where she leads the Berklee Beyoncé Ensemble. And as if that weren't enough, Tia also appears in the music video for Irreplaceable with her saxophone, which, by the way, if you haven't heard the version of this song with the full band, it's absolutely worth a listen. Here's a bit of it. Don't you ever for a second get to thinking irreplaceable. Play the whole thing because it's awesome.
Thank you.
Tia Fuller, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
I love that version with the whole band playing. You guys are so tight in there that I think people would be forgiven for thinking that it's from the original album version because it's so good.
Well, thank you. We actually had no choice but to be tight because we were in 8 to 12 hour rehearsals for a good 6 months out of the year. So yeah, we were living, eating, breathing this music. We had no other option but to be close and be a family.
But I got to get straight to the question that everyone wants to know.
Uh-oh.
What was it like working with Beyoncé?
It was really transformational on so many different levels because I came from a strong jazz background. And once I started playing with her, I saw how the pop industry was very different. And then, of course, working like right in alignment with her and seeing how she speaks to her crew and how she functions as a businesswoman and in videos, also in the studio. Just that really, for me, was transformational on a large level because I was able to incorporate a lot of the things her and there with being my own band leader.
I mean,
all of the details.
She's the whole package.
She is. She
put
really
it mildly.
Is. Yeah.
Now, this was back in 2007 to 2009.
Yeah,
right?
This was like 2006 all the way until about 2010.
Oh, 2010.
Yeah.
Okay. How old were you? At that time? But you look so young now.
Thank
that's
you.
What I'm
You're
asking.
Sweet. No, it was 10 years ago. Yeah, it was 10 years ago. Yeah. Solid 10 years ago. So you guys could go on Wikipedia.
We've got some music here of you playing the saxophone, Tia, when you toured with Beyoncé. This is from the Beyoncé Experience World Tour in May 2007. You were all in Antwerp, Belgium.
I want y'all to give it up for Tia.
So that's you playing with Beyoncé. I mean, you mentioned something a little earlier that I want to ask you more about. Beyoncé is obviously this sort of musical force of her own, but people don't often think of her in a jazz context, if at all. But what you grew up playing was really different. So tell me more about how that sort of crossover meets in you.
Thank you for that question. I come from a jazz family. My mom is a vocalist. My dad's a bassist. And we have a family band called Fuller Sound. And so my sister plays in the band. My brother-in-law plays drums. And of course, I play saxophone. So coming from that, I've always embraced all types of genres of music, and not only listening, but playing. So once I moved out to New York, I wasn't just playing jazz, but I'd be playing in R&B ensembles and wedding bands and hip-hop bands and Latin orchestras and big bands at church. Even like the jazz aficionados, they're like, you play straight ahead, but I hear a lot of other influences.
And what was it like, not just playing with Beyonce, which I could ask you about all day long, but also, I mean, on these tours, all the musicians were women, right?
Yes.
Was that a different dynamic than other ensembles you played with before?
So I went to Spelman College in Atlanta, Georgia, a historically Black all-female college. And so I started off early in my career playing with women. So it wasn't necessarily different because all of us that came together in Beyonce's band, we all came from being the only women in a band.
Uh-huh.
So it was almost like 10 dudes. I'm in a room like, what? We're used to be, you know. And that was one of the first conversations I remember we all had. And everybody was just so cool that even a month ago when they were here, we're still like sisters.
Speaking of that, in March, right, you actually helped coordinate a show at Berklee that featured the original all-female band, Beyonce's all-female band, right?
Yes, definitely.
And also the Berklee Beyonce Ensemble, which we'll talk about in a second.
Okay, yeah.
But I want to play a little clip of that performance from March.
Okay.
So what was it like to reunite?
Oh, my goodness. It was like a party from the aunts. I mean, it's always a party, but from that point, it was almost like riding a bike to where we did the show and it was boom. We all hit it. And energy-wise, it was there. Notes might have been, we might have been kind of fumbling. But as far, we had done that show so many times and played this music. It's ingrained in our spirit for the rest of our life and even afterlife.
did you have to dance when you were part of the ensemble?
Definitely.
With your saxophone?
Yeah, in heels, in like four in stilettos.
You had to dance with your saxophone in stilettos.
Choreography. And so this is one thing that we really stressed in the Beyonce ensemble at Berklee is that it's not just about the music, but you all have to internalize the music enough in order to reenact it and take ownership over it so that you can do these moves too while you're playing and walking and dancing at times and it looking like you know what you're doing.
Looking fierce.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Like Sasha Fierce.
So tell me, this Berklee Beyonce ensemble, how did it come about?
So when I first started teaching at Berklee about 4 years ago, I remember I spoke to one of my administrators and I had said, I would love to have the girls from Beyonce's band come and do a show. And this was something that I had kind of planted a seed. I wasn't sure if it was going to happen or not. So then this time last year, the external affairs department, they had come to me and he was like, Tia, we have a big show planned for next year and we want you to direct it. And so who are some artists you'd like to bring? And I was like, well, we can do Lettucey or Dwele because I started a Dwele ensemble. And I was like, well, maybe Jack DeJohnette or we could go jazz. And I was like, well, we could also do like a Beyonce 10-year anniversary.
And they were like that.
Exactly. I was like, oh, man. Yeah, he was like, I really like the sound of the Beyonce. And all I could see was just the work and the logistics. But it was, I'm just so thankful to be given that opportunity because it was not only an educational experience for the students, but it's been a reconnecting point with the OGs, with the band members. And so now we're getting requests to do gigs just as a band.
Fantastic.
And this is something that we had always talked about, but I think we just needed some time to kind of all of us settle into our individual careers so that now on the other side of it, we're able to really just hone into all of our strengths, which is amazing.
So speaking of your individual strengths, I mean, we're spending a lot of time talking about Queen Bey, but I want to play some of your music because you're a very accomplished saxophone player. So let's listen to a little bit. This is a piece from your 2012 album, Angelic Warrior. This is Lil Less.
Thank you.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
What do you love about the saxophone?
You know, I remember the first day I blew into the saxophone. I think I was about 8 or 9. I remember I was in the third floor of my parents' house in the loft, and I played like a low B flat, which is the lowest note that you can finger on the saxophone. It was like, boom! And then it just resonated through my whole being. And from that point, I knew this is what I'm supposed to do.
Well, I mean, you're not the first saxophone player to talk about the instrument in mystical ways, mm-hmm. right? Like, I'm thinking Coltrane.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes. And he is one of my biggest influences, yeah. for sure. When I was at Spelman, one of my first transcriptions that I learned, one of the solos that I learned was Coltrane's Giant Steps.
Well, if we could, let's actually listen to some of that. This is John Coltrane playing Giant Steps in 1959. John Coltrane playing Giant Steps back in 1959. And Tia, honestly, it feels a little bit magical hearing Coltrane play.
Yeah, I think any instrument has that capability. It's just a matter of if you're in tune with it or not. Mm-hmm. And that was definitely my voice. I knew it.
Well, let's listen to more of your voice again through the saxophone. This is from your 2012 album, Angelic Warrior, Ralphie's Groove. So, Tia, let me ask you, you have played with Beyoncé. You teach at Berklee. You've got your own ensembles. You've got some great albums. What's left?
One of my next goals, I'd like to eventually start a school, but I'd also like to receive a Grammy. These are just like some eternal goals.
No, you know what? If you're going to aim high.
Yeah.
And I don't see why you couldn't do it, to be perfectly honest.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I actually have a new release coming out at the beginning of next year, and it's featuring Jack DeJohnette, Dave Holland, Bill Stewart, and James Genus, and Terry Lynn Carrington is producing it. So we're really sinking our teeth into that, and we'll see. But, you know, I think more importantly, I'm seeing how important it is to just continue to evolve on a daily basis. I was practicing the other night, and I'm like, man, it's time for me to get to the next level mm-hmm. on my instrument. And I think that's a testament for all of us that we continue to evolve and to cultivate those gifts and our purpose on this earth. And I honestly can say that I'm living a dream because every single thing that I've done has been even more in abundance than I had asked for. And not to have it self-serving, but to see that through me elevating or pushing myself, I'm able to infuse others.
Absolutely. So. Well, Tia Fuller is a jazz saxophonist and a former member of Beyoncé's all-female touring band. She's also a professor at Berklee College of Music, where she leads Berklee's Beyoncé Ensemble. It's been an absolute joy to speak with you, Tia.
Likewise.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much. The shoes on my feet, I buy. The clothes I'm wearing, I buy. The rock I'm rocking, I buy. Cause I depend on me if I want it. The watch I'm wearing, I buy. The house I live in, I buy. The car I'm driving, I buy. I depend on me.
Throw your hands up. It's Friday. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. Tell me how you feel about this. Do it, I won't if I won't.